The following is a presentation of Open for Business, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship's conference for business students and business professionals at the Urbana 06 Missions Convention, held in St. Louis, December 2006. For more information, please visit ofb.intervarsity.org.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight for Building Christian Community for Business People. Bob Lynn is our speaker tonight. I'll just shout. I don't have much to say other than he is a multi-talented man. You can read this on your own, but just to give you a little highlight, he's the Associate Pastor for Missions and Adult Education. Missions and Adult Education and Campus Ministry. That's one man. He's right here. He'll be talking to us about building Christian community. Please welcome Bob.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here. And since we're building Christian community here at Urbana this week, one way you do that is through praying. So I'd like to ask us to pray together as we begin. Father, we do look to you tonight to be our teacher through your Spirit. Pray that you would open our hearts to your word, that our hearts would receive your truth, and that having received your truth, you would give us the power to put it into practice. And so, Father, let our thoughts tonight, let the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We want the life of the mind here tonight to glorify you and mind transformation to lead to life transformation, that Jesus might be known. So we cry out to you as children and know that our Father hears us and gives us every good gift. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm delighted to be here. This is sort of an interesting time for me. This is my first Urbana, believe it or not, despite the fact that I'm 53. And then at my first Urbana, I'm doing a workshop. I signed up for Urbana way back in March. I'm sort of over-controlling and over-eager, and so did what I was told right away, even had my hotel room nailed down in March and everything. And then I got this call from John Terrell somewhere around September asking if I would do a workshop. So this is a very interesting week for me to both experience Urbana and be doing a workshop with you. And our task tonight is to think about, as the title says, Building Christian Community for Business People. Now, as we think about the question of community, a couple of questions come to mind that we ought to think about tonight. First, and this one in a sense is sort of obvious in the asking, is Christian community necessary for the BAM person? And I assume since we all read the scriptures and have taken in its message, that's one that we agree on. And yet, there is a question even in agreement as to what on earth that might mean. And hopefully, we can explore some of that tonight by answering the other question, how can the BAM person find or build vital Christian community relevant to both business and faith? So we're presuming that as you consider God's call to business, building community, being part of community, is vital to the pursuit of that vocation as you seek to pursue God's call and mission through the very exciting and demanding task of business. Now, as we begin, just an important reminder. This is a quote from Tom Morris's book, If Aristotle Ran General Motors, and a fine book, and a book that really does highlight the importance of the spiritual life and spirituality in the workplace and in business. And I think for many who are in this track, the thought is God calling me to start a business? Is God calling me to be the president of some manufacturing firm, the CEO of some corporation? And to remind ourselves of this, Morris says, the higher in an organization a person is, the more temptations there are to lose track of the spiritual significance of what is going on in favor of the numbers and prestige game we are all taught to play. So the higher you go, the more likely you are to forget why you even went there in the first place. And maybe a lot of you in this room are presuming and praying and dreaming to be the person who founds the thing, who starts the thing, the entrepreneur has the dream that makes it happen. You want to be the person, in a sense, at the top of the organization, at the highest point, and yet the temptation, the danger, is to be in that position and to lose track of, again, why you started in the first place. So as we begin tonight, an important reminder as to why this thing we're talking about tonight is so important, why community is so essential. Now, a couple of things. Our questions use two terms that we probably need to clarify a little bit. Community, and then this thing called BAM, or Business as Mission. Now, we'll talk a little bit more specifically about community in order to define it and look at what shape it takes in a moment. But we ought to spend a little bit of time on this idea of BAM, or Business as Mission. We look at ourselves in this room, we think, is this a room full of BAM people? Are you a BAM person? Are you a BAM person? What does it mean to be a BAM person, a Business as Mission person? And so what are we talking about? Well, some options, and actually let me just go back a moment. The reason I have that up on the screen, Business as Mission, the Distinctives and Challenges of a New Approach to World Mission by Johnson and Rundle, a fine paper that's yet unpublished, but circulating around Urbana and circulating around some of the businesses, mission people. I think John Terrell might have been circulating it, or some others. But it's coming out in a book called Businesses Missions by Barnett and Steffen, forthcoming from William Carey Library. And that paper is very helpful in defining some of the categories that we want to talk about tonight. So what we're talking about tonight is not primarily tent making. A tent maker is a mission-minded Christian who supports himself or herself in a cross-cultural context through a vocation such as teaching English, medical work, or working for a locally owned company. But we're not, when we talk about BAM, primarily talking about the tent maker. When we're talking about BAM, we're really thinking more first about the entrepreneur, although I would say probably all of what we're going to talk about tonight is relevant to any Christian who has business as a vocation. And so, you know, the track isn't called Open for BAM, it's called Open for Business. And so we realize there's a breadth here. But again, there is a particular concern for business as mission and what that means for global strategy. And so we recognize the tent maker isn't primarily the person who's going to go over to Turkey or Central Asia and start a business. This is the person who's going to maybe go to Turkey and Central Asia and do medical work or teach English. Are we talking about marketplace ministry? Well, no, not really, because marketplace ministry is usually a parachurch ministry that seeks to equip and coach people who are in the marketplace to be more effective witnesses in the marketplace. So again, that's a very valid kingdom calling in the business community, but that's not primarily what we're talking about. Or enterprise development. Again, here we think about assisting people in developing countries to rise out of poverty by starting small businesses through microloans, so micro-development, microloans. Again, a trend in sort of the business community with, particularly among Christians, a reflection on this global impact for advancing the cause of Christ. But we're not talking primarily about enterprise development, even as we look at micro-enterprise emerge into small and medium enterprise endeavors, so we have to keep that in mind as well. But really, what we're primarily talking about is, well, too many clicks, sorry. By the way, just for the uninitiated, this is the first time ever I'm using PowerPoint, so. But what we're primarily talking about tonight are BAM practitioners, business as mission folks. We're thinking here primarily in a cross-cultural context, like marketplace ministry. BAM recognizes the intrinsic value of business, but goes a step further by seeing the business itself as integral to the mission strategy. A difference between BAM, let's say, and enterprise development is enterprise development might make a micro loan to a woman in a small village in India by helping her buy a sewing machine to start a business. But there isn't any concern, primarily there isn't any concern, on the entrepreneur who starts the business as being a Christian. But as we think of business as mission, we think of the entrepreneur, the one who starts the business, as a Christian who seeks to start that business with the focus towards a global strategy of cross-cultural initiation that has in mind the advancement of the kingdom of God in places where the name of Jesus isn't known. And so, again, there's lots of things going on in business, lots of Christians involved in things related to the world of business for the sake of Christ and the cause of the gospel, but our focus here tonight is primarily on business's mission. All right, now, let's think a bit about a biblical base. What's the biblical presumption? The biblical presumption is this. As those who image the eternal community of the triune God, our human nature is not fully expressed apart from human community. Let me say that again. As those who image the eternal community of the triune Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, our human nature is not fully expressed apart from human community. You and I are not fully ourselves apart from human community. Now, think, for example, of Genesis 1:27. What does God say there? God creates man in his own image. In fact, let's read the text. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created him, or them. So notice, it's over this sort of primal human community of male and female, of Adam and Eve, that God pronounces this word, image bearer. Not over an Adam and Eve separately. And again, it's not to say that separately they aren't image bearers. But it's interesting to note that God creates man, male, and female, and then pronounces this human community as image bearing. Because again, I think it gets back to that fundamental biblical truth that we are not fully expressing what it means to reflect the divine image until we're in community. Why? Because of the very nature of the Trinity. Or another passage, Genesis 2:18. What does God's word say there? The Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." So again, notice it's not good for man to be alone. There's something contrary to our nature when we find ourselves always alone. We weren't created to be solitary beings. We weren't created to be discrete and separate beings. We were created to be together and to live in community. And then lastly, there we go, Matthew 28:18-20. Now, that's something that we typically look at and say, the Great Commission, this is what Urbana is built on. We go to Urbana and we hear about why we should go to the nations, and that's absolutely true. But something you should notice in this passage as Jesus gives the Great Commission. What does he say? "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." So notice what happens. We go out and we make disciples of the nations, and the nations are baptized into a community that bears the name of the eternal community of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're not just any community. We're the baptized community. We're the brought together people who then have the name of eternal community written over them. And so Matthew 28:18-20, again, reminds us that image-bearing, fully expressed, is done most properly in human community. So that's the biblical presumption. Now, I don't want you to at all say, some isolated proof text. I mean, this goes beyond proof texting. But for the sake of brevity tonight, to simply look at some specific texts rather than looking at large overarching themes to see how these things really run throughout the warp and woof of Scripture. So there's a presumption in Scripture about human nature and its fullest expression. There's also another theme that goes through the Scriptures, which is that community is not a human creation. Now there's a sense in which our title tonight and the way we talk about this sounds as though it's our job to create community, but community is a gift. Community is a gift to us by virtue of our being in Christ. It's founded on Christ. It's filled with life through the Holy Spirit. It's a gift of grace from our Father. And so community is always a gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. Paul says, "The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So notice, community is the result of a divine action, not the result of a human action. Now, we're called to maintain the unity in the spirit of peace, but we maintain unity that's given to us already as a gift. Or again, Ephesians chapter 2 and 4. Now, we won't take time to look at the whole of Ephesians 2, but sometime take a look at verses 19 through 22, and what do you see? You see that by the Spirit indwelling God's people, purchased by the blood of Christ, we're built up into a holy dwelling. We become the temple or tabernacle of God by virtue of the work of the Spirit uniting us together in Christ. Ephesians 4 similarly says there is one body and one Spirit. That remarkable passage that outlines the foundation of Christian community. But again, the foundation of that Christian community is a gift. And then lastly, Romans 12, 4 and 5. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. See, we don't belong to ourselves. See, individuals belong to themselves. Discrete, separate individuals belong to themselves. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to Christ, and in belonging to Christ, we belong to one another. And so that gift of community, again, given to us through the working of the Spirit. And really, when you think about the Scriptures as a whole, think of the covenant promise of Scripture. I mean, from Genesis to Revelation, what is God's promise? That He says, "I will bring this promise to pass. I will be your God and you will be my people." I mean, that's the promise that structures the whole of Scripture. It structures the story of Scripture. And so again, it just reminds us that the presumption of the Scripture is God is busy creating a community of people that will reflect His glory forever and live in fellowship with Him eternally. And again, we just have to see it's the presumption, and it's the presumption because it's a gift of grace. Now, what I'd like you to do next is we're going to do just a brief case study. Now, we're going to do a little bit of interacting tonight at two points. And so I want you to quickly, I think we're allowed to move chairs. So you know, move some chairs if you need to, or talk over rows, get in groups of maybe five and six. And I want you to take that case study you have, the missionary's testimony. I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things in your group with that testimony. Yeah, we have a few more in the back, I think. Okay, now, you've invited one another into some small groups, and here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you, reading out loud takes a bit more time, so what I'd like you to do is just take a couple of moments, and each of you read through the testimony. There's no hidden trick sentences or, you know, little gotcha statements. So you don't have to read it with painstaking detail, but I want you to quietly read that testimony, and then in a group, I want you to look at these three questions and answer these questions. First off, what's this fellow's struggle? Here's a guy struggling with calling, with business, with mission. What's his struggle? What does it look like? How would community have helped this fellow? And it appears that although he may have failed out already on us, there are others probably just like him. How could community be formed to help someone struggling in this way and sustain them for the long haul? So these are your questions. That's your testimony. Take a couple minutes to read, a few minutes to discuss, and then we'll have a little feedback.